Yeah, a very good evening and welcome along to tonight's edition of Terrace Talk. We've ticked into the month of November, November 3rd, and we have an action-packed show once again to keep you entertained between now and 8 o'clock this evening. We'll be chatting all things ladies football in the first hour. Of course, three Munster finals involving Kerry teams over the weekend between Southern Gaels, Clonmacc and Moyvan, and of course, Cremorne as well. So we'll be covering those in detail with a couple of players and journalists and everything else over the next hour or so, so you don't want to miss that one. A hectic second hour coming up as well. We'll be chatting to some of the Kerry FC heroes the weekend, their first ever trophy, 6 years playing League of Ireland football in the Kingdom, and their first ever League of Ireland silverware coming to Mount Hawk Park after an extra time win over Shamrock Rovers on Saturday night. We'll also be talking to the man who won a European under 15 boxing gold medal last weekend as well. He'll be in the studio chatting to us a little later on. We'll be chatting to a former Kerry footballer about a new workshop coming up about our young athletes and protecting them against injury and everything else. And we'll be talking to a couple of people from the Kearns or Athletes Club here in Tralee as well, who are looking for your help as they're building a book to mark their club history as well and everything else in between. As I say, if you were at any football match, hurling match, soccer match, whatever you were at the weekend or indeed during the week, do get your views into us. Unfortunately, it was defeat for the Abbey-Dorney hurlers and the Kinmare hurlers as well at the quarterfinal stages in Munster. Abbey-Dorney coming up short against O'Callaghan Mills of Clare in their quarterfinal, while Knockaderry defeated Kinmare after a spirited game by the Kinmare hurlers down in the most unusual of hurling venues in Temple Knowe as well on Saturday. So commiserations to both Abbey-Dorney and to Kinmare, whose Munster journeys fell at the first hurdle, unfortunately. If you have any views in those games, do get in touch. As we say, we're on text or WhatsApp 083 300 3300. You can send us a message there. If you want, if you prefer to give a phone call, it's 066 712 3666. Rob is taking your calls there this evening, and of course you can email at any stage during the week or this evening at terracetalk@ radiokerry.ie is where you'll catch us on that one. But as we say, full focus on ladies football in this first hour of Terrace Talk this evening. Delighted to be joined in studio by Dan Kearney. Dan, you're welcome along. Thanks for taking the time to pop in after a busy weekend in Mallow. You had two trips up and down. Did you stay the night at all?
No, I didn't quite get that privilege at all. The budget wasn't that high, you know, up and down through Scarta Glen and Kishgame and places like that, you know. And it was, look, there were three great occasions. Unfortunately, we only came home with one bit of silverware out of it the very first day with Cremorne, but unfortunately yesterday we had two defeats. But it must be said, neither of the two sides that played and represented Kerry, Clonmacc and Moyvan and Southern Gaels, that they didn't leave the county down, they didn't leave the club down. They were absolutely magnificent. And look, when you go out there and you put everything on the line, you do your best and you just come out second best, look, that's unfortunate. That's sport. That's the way it can happen sometimes, but they will be back.
Yeah, most definitely. We'll start with the senior, I suppose, Dan. And looking at it, I suppose we were chatting last week and you were saying how dangerous Comer Rangers are. You came up against them yourselves as well, and they were 9 points ahead at one point and looked like it was a long way back for Southern Gaels. It was a long way back, but by God, did they get close.
Yeah, they got close. I suppose, look, the first half was a killer for them, really, you know, for Southern Gaels. You know, they went in at halftime, 1-9 to 3 points down. And, you know, OK, they were playing into a stiff enough breeze, but that's a fair old lead to try and haul back a 9 point lead at half time. And you know, in fairness, there is credit to them that they did come back in the second half. But look, I suppose, look, just to go through the game briefly, the way it started was Comer, they raced into a 2 point lead. Southern Gaels, they got two back then, you know, 2 points in a row. But then Comer really squeezed up on the Southern Gaels kick out, and they got fierce dividends out of it, and they got 2 points in a row from the kick outs. In total, in the first half, in fact, Comer got 3 points from kickouts directly from Southern Gaels kickout, and they got a goal from a turnover. So you could say 1-3 in that first half came from unforced errors, in a sense, from Southern Gaels, which was unfortunate. But that was the kind of pressure that Comer were putting on them. Look, Mears Lyons pointed, she made it 3 points to four. But then there was a marvellous goal chance for Southern Gaels in the 11th minute. Anna Galvin looked up, she played very, very well, as she always does for Southern Gaels. She looked up, she saw Sia Froshay inside, a beautiful high ball in. Shifra, great hands, got the ball, turned to her right, bang, off the crossbar. You know, it was a fantastic effort, fantastic chance. That was unfortunate that it didn't go in. That would have, you know, that would have put Southern Gales in the driving seat. It might have changed the complexion of the game, would have put them 1-3 to 4 points up. Unfortunately, didn't go in. A couple of minutes later, Ava Connolly, from a very acute angle, she had the ball over the bar for Cumbria Rangers. And then there was another turnover, and Emma Murray, she slalomed through, made it 6-3. So Southern Gales, they were gasping for air at this stage. Clodagh Power with a free, made it 7-3. Again, the troubles continued with the kickouts. That was a big issue. Went up 1-7-3. Katie Murray hit a goal into the top corner. Herself and her sister Emma, they combined beautifully throughout the game, particularly in that first half. And she went through for a goal. Katie Murray, who ended up with the player of the match afterwards, 1-7-3. That was in the 24th minute. Emma Murray was fouled from the kickout. Then nothing came of that. But Clodagh Power. Then she got a point to make it 1-8-3. And then Murray had Power right on the stroke of half time, made it 1-9-3. So Southern Gales were going into half time, they were having a conversation, they were saying, look, we have the wind in the second half, we're going to have to change our tack here, we're going to have to change our attitude. And in fairness to them, they did.
Absolutely. And like that, as I said, they came right back into it. Delighted to be also joined by Fianna Tagli on the line, of course, a name well known around the ladies football world. Fianna, you're welcome along, and thanks for taking the time to maybe look back at a few of these games with us as well this evening. As Dan mentioned, they kind of came out with a different kind of lease of life in that second half, and maybe you felt like a goal at some stage might have helped Southern Gales' cause as well.
Thanks very much, Ivan and Dan, for having me there. But yeah, as Dan said there, I think it was definitely probably a game of two halves. I think in the first half, I think Cumbria scored at one stage, it was a 1-5 without reply. And I know they had the win and stuff, but that was probably a big thing for them to get that lead over Southern Gales. But I think then when Southern Gales did come out in the second half, I suppose they just had to go for it. And when they had the wind, they definitely did that. And I thought Jess Gill, especially coming up from wing back, I think she scored 4 points in the second half. I think she was very impressive. And I think probably just the turnovers, I suppose, maybe certain times, probably was a killer. And I think they had 8 wides as well in the second half, which probably, you know, sometimes that can probably suck the energy out of you a bit. But I think Cumbria probably having the experience of being there as well last year after beating Ballymac was probably huge for them. And I think just having the likes of the Murrays, like they've been playing for Waterford down the last few years, and they're probably up there with the top players in the country. So I think trying to get to grips with them, and when you're kind of trying to get that lead back in the second half was probably tough, but Southern Gales definitely did us proud anyway in Kerry, and even just to get to the senior final I think is a huge thing, because I suppose maybe this time in the last maybe 10 years we probably, Kerry teams maybe struggled to get to the senior final with the likes of the Banner or Ballymac, and Moranabbey were probably dominating. So even to have Southern Gales and obviously Castle Island last year is huge, so hopefully maybe next year that a Kerry team can go back and win it again.
Just from kind of your playing experience, Fianna, like, you know, when you're kind of chasing a game like that, you're down maybe, you know, a good chunk at half time. You're probably going in there knowing that you've got that wind advantage in the second half. Is it always tough when you're kind of chasing a game? Would you rather kind of be ahead and be kind of, I suppose, the mouse being caught by the cat? Would you rather be the other way around? Would you rather kind of be the one chasing, or would you prefer to be that kind of much ahead at half time, or would it maybe switch off that the job might be done or whatever? From a playing point of view, what's kind of the mindset there maybe of those players going at half time that far behind?
I suppose you could probably look at it from two perspectives. I suppose like Southern Gales, okay, they were down, I think it was a 1-9-3, but like they knew they had the wind, and I think with the players that they have on the field, I don't think anyone yesterday at half time said this game is over. I think we all knew that they were going to come back into it, and like we all knew that they were going to get a purple patch, and they definitely did that in the second half. But then I think Jess got a point in the 42nd minute to bring it back to 3 points, but then from there, then the next score wasn't until Rachel Laurier. I think it was like the 56th minute. So I suppose maybe that probably 14 minute period there probably was maybe a bit of a killer when they had momentum. I think there was probably just a couple of turnovers that probably went against them. And I think when you're playing, sometimes when you have that momentum and things start to go against you again, it's kind of hard to get it back. And I think then for the Cumbria side, I think knowing that they probably had that lead at halftime, they knew that they probably would have the legs and the fitness from being there last year and the experience to know how to maybe grind out the win. I don't think it bothered them yesterday whether they won by a point or by 4 points in the end. So I suppose you can look at it either way, but I think they were two fairly evenly matched teams yesterday, and yeah, definitely could have probably went either way on certain momentum, as Dan said, when Schieffer hit the post or the crossbar, that was probably a momentum swing as well. So yeah, I think it all just depends on the day and different probably factors.
Yeah, you're used to watching maybe the football and the club football in different counties as well. Could we just remark just how strong, you know, Waterford ladies football is now, Fianna? Of course, you know, with the obviously Comer Rainers winning their first title for you know, a long time, Bally McCarvery, I think was it 42 in a row they did. But like, I suppose when you're looking maybe, you know, compared to maybe even the men's game, you'd be looking at Waterford as the weakest county in the in men's football in Munster. So you're kind of looking at Waterford and the strength now that they have, and you know, for a team to come out and beat a Kerry team in a final like that, it's a good state of intent of the state of the game in Waterford and ladies football in general in that region.
Yeah, definitely. I think any time we would have played Waterford, whether it was underage or schools level or even senior, we've always had a tough battle. I don't think you'd ever beat a Waterford team easily in ladies football. I think it's kind of bred into them. They're a running team, they're fit, they're always physical, play on the edge, but like, they played in a good way. And I think with the seniors the last couple of years, they obviously had Pat Sullivan, and he laid serious foundations there for the core, probably age group of the team that they had. I suppose when the likes of Michelle Ryan and stuff probably retired, then you had the likes of the Murrays coming up, Rebecca Casey came back. You know, they had a good few players coming back into the team. And then I think this year when Tomás McIntyre took him over, he probably brought him up another level again. So I think, like, I don't think it was any surprise yesterday to see, like, Cumra playing a Kerry team in a final being competitive, because always, any time we ever played a Waterford team, they're always going to be tough to beat. And I think that was definitely the way that the game was yesterday.
You must remember as well that this Cumra team, their semi-final was against Cork champions, Airog, and, you know, it went extra time and everything. Like, so, like, they're a seasoned outfit. Prior to Desmond's winning it last year, Bally McCarvery, their big rivals in Waterford, had won the Munster Championship for 2 years in a row. So Waterford club football is very, very strong from that point of view, from the Bally McCarvery point of view. And now Comera are the new kids on the block, you know, they really are. They have a very, very professional setup. I saw the first hand last year. Joe Power, top class manager. They want for nothing. They run like a county team, actually. And I know they've had Donny Buckley in doing sessions and things like that. You know, and they've that kind of a mindset. They're not content with just winning Munster this year. They're looking at going all the way. You know, and that's what Southern Gales were up against. And you know, just unfortunately, this time Southern Gales didn't get over the line.
It's a huge feat though, Dan, isn't it? I mean, when you look at you know, obviously with that Bally McCarvery run that they went on, and Cormorant Rangers kind of getting in there, you know, winning last year, and of course now getting through Munster this year, so their first Munster title as a club as well. That in itself is just a huge occasion for them, and unfortunately at a Kerry team's expense. But you know, if you were to look at it kind of as a neutral, like, you'd be kind of looking at them going into an All-Ireland series now, as they'd have nothing to fear after winning their first Munster title as well.
They'll have nothing to fear except Kilcairn Clanburn from Galway, who are seemingly unstoppable, and Kilmacud Crokes will be anxious to make up for last year as well. They're possibly still a level ahead of this Comera team. Now, we won't write them off at all yet, in a sense that, look, they're only after winning a Munster Championship yesterday, so look, any team that wins a Munster Championship is in with a fighting chance. But I think that Kilcairn Clanburn team from Galway are just, would you agree with me there, Fianna? They're just that bit of a step ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I was in college with a lot of the girls from Kilcairn Clanburn, and I've seen them play in the Galway Championship and Connacht and even going off to All-Ireland. But like, any team that's going for 5 All-Irelands in a row is going to be a serious team to beat. And I know they haven't won the Connacht Championship yet. I know they have to play, I think it's St. Bridget's and Roscommon, but they beat Westport yesterday, and that was going to be probably their toughest battle. And then they know, like, for Cumra to go away up to Galway in Kilcairn, which is like, it's a tough place, very tough place to go, and to probably come out of their All-Ireland, or to go into the semi-final for the first time, and to be up against Kilcairn Clanburn, I think is a very tough ask. But I know anything probably can happen on the day, but when you look on the team sheet of Kilcairn Clanburn, and you have the Wards, the Dibleys, the Noons, it'll be a very tough ask, and it's basically like almost going up playing against the Galway senior team, to be honest. So I know anything can happen on the day, but you probably would be thinking that Kilcairn probably might be just that bit too strong from this year anyway.
Also on the line, delighted to be joined by Rachel Dwyer. Not an easy thing to do when after being on a losing side as well. Rachel, you're welcome to the show this evening. Again, thanks very much for coming on. Disappointment, I'd imagine, amongst the group after that result yesterday.
Yeah, thanks, Ivan. Yeah, definitely still fresh. Bit of disappointment, all right. I suppose it's hard. All right, coming back now with, you know, having a talk with the loss, but sure, you know, we had a tough first half yesterday, and I suppose we can be proud of our second half, but it's just not the result we were looking for anyway.
Yeah, talk to me a small bit about the half-time, because in fairness, you came out with a big point to prove in the second half, and you came very, very close. We were just chatting there a couple of minutes ago that maybe a goal might have swung it even a small bit earlier in that second half as well. So plenty to be proud of on it. I know it is very hard in a day like today to kind of look back at it and say maybe this went wrong or that went wrong, or a kick of a ball here or there, but you can be proud of your efforts in that second half.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know, I think it was just a lot of mistakes ourselves really in the first half, and I suppose Cumbria being the great team they are, we're able to capitalise on them. And you know, we definitely were unlucky, she, for that time, you know, just hitting the crossbar, things like that. But we came in at half time and we knew that that's not us, that's not Southern Gales how we can play. Like, we can definitely come out and put a better performance together. And you know, the girl, you know, we all kind of turned around, put our heads down, and girls really put in the hard work. You know, like, you saw a different head on us in the second half, but I suppose you just didn't have enough time to finish it out, unfortunately.
You had fantastic support there as well yesterday, Rachel. I must make you awful proud to see that many people coming up to Mallow to support you.
Yeah, do you know what? It's brilliant. It's always great to have people around. And, you know, even during the week, one of the past players, Clodagh, she's over in Australia at the moment, put together a video of, you know, a few good looks and well wishes. And, you know, that's always lovely to have. It's great to see that and have all that support from home going up to these big games.
This is Dan here, Rachel. No, well done yesterday. Look, you were unlucky. In fairness, like you said there, like, you lose a great second half. I suppose, look, the first half, I was counting it there. I watched back the video. There was 15 turnovers by you in the first half, like, you know, whereas the second half there was only 7. That 15 turnovers really was the killer. And it was very unlike you.
Yeah, do you know what? It was very unlike us. And it's, you know, nearly frustrating because it's not how we normally play, which was, you know, that's not what you want on a big day, on a big Munster final day. And I suppose we were just unlucky that was kind of how we turned up in the first half. And during the second half, we were like, this is not us, this is not how we play. So I suppose we tried to change it up. But again, as you say, it just wasn't enough for us.
Yeah, but looking at the team, I mean, the age bracket there is quite a young team. Okay, with Mayor's Lions now might be a bit of a veteran at this stage, as we'll say, and yeah. Megan coming off the bench, you know. But in general, you've quite a young age bracket.
You know, we actually do. We have a very young age bracket. Like, we had a few girls there, like Maren T and Katie Foster. Size, they're all making their senior debut this year in the county championship. So it was brilliant to get those girls. Even to a month this age, I mean, that's a huge achievement for us as such a young team as well. But I suppose as a competitor, you always want to get the winning results. But you know what? It is a great achievement for some of them girls as well.
And you must be a very tight bunch, because there is quite a lot of relations there. Could you take us through some of the relations on the team?
Yeah, we do. I myself actually have my sister Clodagh and my other sister Aideen on the team. And then I have first cousins, Aveen and Shun Fitz. And then we have Mayors and Clean are actually cousins as well. We have a few cousins and relations and sisters with a very close-knit group inside there.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. And look, in fairness, you can all share the pain together anyway, you know, and there will be better days ahead, that's for sure.
That's it, yeah. I'm sure we have other sisters as well, with Megan and Ellie and everything. So, you know, there's just loads of tight group inside there, all right.
Obviously, coming out of Kerry is a difficult task, Rachel. Obviously, you know, that's a huge result to win the county and go on to Munster. But I'm sure a result like this and yesterday, we can only kind of galvanise the group further going forward next year. And you'll be hoping to get out of Kerry and then have another crack at Munster. I know, again, it's barely 24 hours, but that must be in your head to kind of say, we'll be back again to go one better next year.
Do you know what? That's it, 100%. We're nearly saying we'll be like Cumbria next year ourselves. You know, as you were saying, we are a young team, and this is definitely not the end of us anyway. So hopefully we can do something like Cumbria did now this year, and hopefully be back again.
That's brilliant, Rachel. Look, we won't hold you any longer. Really appreciate you coming on, Rachel, and giving the, you know, the kind of shout to the team there as well. And it is great to hear you've got such a young group there, and no doubt you will be back next year as well.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much, Ivan.
Brilliant. Pleasure. That's Rachel Dwyer there, of course, playing with Southern Gales, also a Kerry ladies footballer. But Dan, you know, listening to Rachel there, you know, obviously you can hear the disappointment and they will be disappointed. But again, there is that sort of, you know, that kind of youth there, maybe that small bit of inexperience in a final as well. And a lot of that will ring true again next year. And when you've been there already, all of a sudden you're kind of saying, look, we were here last year and you felt that heartache driving back down the road from Mallow. You don't want that again. And you can kind of build off a result as well. And I know it's easy for us to sit here and say that today, but I'm sure, you know, as time ticks by and you kind of make that realisation and say, yeah, we'll be back next year and we're going to do one better.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell from Rachel that's what they're going to do. You know, that's when all this is dusted down and put away and they'll have their team meeting for the start of next season, you know, that'll be something that they'll reflect on. Look, we, you know, in the cold light of day, we possibly left the Munster title behind us. If we had played better, if we hadn't turned over the ball so many times in the first half, if we hadn't lost so many kickouts, which was a huge factor. And, you know, that's what teams do. And look, like she said, they're a tight bunch. They're a young bunch for the most part. They need that bit of experience as well, which they'll hang on to, I'd say. And they will be back. And it's going to make a very... They have to get out of Kerry first. It's going to make a very, very tight county championship next year. Because what you're going to have, you're going to have Desmond's chomping at the bit after, you know, losing their title this year. You're going to have Nagail hurting from losing the county championship final to Southern Gales. And you're going to have new kids on the block like Clown Mac and My Van.
Who'll be hungry, yeah.
Who have a new challenge, you know. It's a new challenge now for them. They've had the challenge of a Munster intermediate final, but playing senior football is a new challenge for them. So it's going to be a very interesting championship. Southern Gales, they'll be chomping at the bit again next year. They'll be hurting for a while, like I say. But look, they have a very good young team. They have plenty of talent. They have pace throughout. And, you know, we must mention Jess Gill there yesterday. Absolutely outstanding. A young player. She's inside with the Kerry panel. She was quite enough in the county final. You know, and, you know, you'd be wondering. They were playing her. Southern Gales were playing her at half-back. And I was kind of saying, Jeannie, she was always a half-forward. But she was coming up yesterday. She scored 4 mighty points in the second half. Mm-hmm. Absolutely brilliant for her side. And a player with a huge future. As is Mirren Tehan, another young player in the middle of the field. Of course, relation of Rachel that was on the great John Tehan's daughter, the basketballer. So they have a very, very good young side. And of course, a bit of stardust with Rachel and Shea O'Shea and the likes of Ellie O'Connell there up front. So they're far from gone away.
Absolutely. Well, we have to take a break on this evening's Terrace Talk. You're joining us in the company of Fiona Tagney and Dan Carney. We're chatting all things ladies football. Again, 3 teams in Munster finals over the weekend. We'll head for a break. Get in touch 083 300 3300. You can call 066 712 3666. We'll be back chatting about the intermediate final after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Into the field, I know they got their point a moment ago, but they've gone to the well a couple of times and either kicked it wide or fell short. That ball is hit into the edge of the square. Is that ball fouled? No, it isn't. No more players gather around it. Now a chance here for... it's in the back of the net! It's a goal and I think it's Aaron Finucane. We have a draw game. They're just a never-say-die spirit. And from this town, Mac and My Van side. For the last couple of minutes, they have camped the Nave of Vaughan side in the back. They were home and hosed, the Nave of Vaughan side. But now, looking up at the clock, it says 63 gone, 65 gone, sorry, and 2-8 to 2-8. That ball is kicked into the middle of the park, and I'm sure we have the full time score. And in the end, it was a goal. And it was Aaron Finucane that's hit the ball into the back of the net. You are not to break the hearts of Nave of Vaughan. They will be, I'm sure, extra time here. But what a finish by Clown Mac and My Van here. A small parish, or two small parishes for want of a better word, but Aaron Finucane has given him a lifeline.
Well, there you go. That was Tim. I think got caught off the hop. He was only doing reports and all of a sudden the game got very exciting towards the end of it. Dan, I suppose I never say die attitude, unfortunately, fell short after extra time, but what a year for Clown Mac and My Van as well.
What a year and what a team, must be said. I mean, if you were to write the words resilience, character, all these sort of cliche type words, they're not cliches when it comes to Clown Mac and My Van. They're absolutely outstanding ambassadors for Kerry and for their area, and what they did and how they came back yesterday was absolutely phenomenal. They looked dead and buried. They were dead and buried, but no, they refused to die, and they've done it all year. I've seen them. They keep refusing to go away. you know. They're like, I suppose, they're like an annoying fly that won't will keep at you. But that's no disrespect to them. That's actually a compliment to them. And what they did yesterday to come back, they were losing all through this game. Like they were 2-1 to a point down in the first half. You know, what you call them, Nava Bawn, they were going like every time Nava Bawn attacked, they looked like they were going to get a goal. Rosie Lehan, in the corner forward, she was doing a lot of damage. She got a goal in the 15th minute from her turnover. That made it 1-1 to a point. And then 30 seconds later, a body blow, lost the kick out. Clonmac and my van lost the kick out. And Lydia McDonough just waltzed through the defence, put it in the back of the net. That made it 2-1 to a point. Now, in fairness, Clonmac and my van, they got a point back. And Aaron Finucan free. That made it 2-1 to 2 points. But then a great point from Laura Sheeran made it 3-2-1. But again, Rosie Nilahan, she took on the defender, put it up over the bar, 2-2 to 3 points. Kelly Enright was fouled. Gillian Musgrave took the free, 2-2 to 4 points. And again, Clonmac and Mike Vandy kept coming back in this first half. Laura Sheeran to Kelly Enright, left legged this time, 2-2 to 5 points. That's 3 points in a row for Clonmac and Mike Van. But then a sweeping move by Nava Bawn and Lydia McDonough put it over the bar, 2-3 to 5 points. And that's how it was at half time. But straight after it starts the second half, Gillian Musgrave free, 2-3 to 6 points. Again, Amy McDonough passed Annie Maher. She punched over, 2-4 to 6 points. Then Rosie Lehan, after massive patience, she punched it over, and that was 2-5 to 6 points. That was around the 40th minute. A brilliant save then from Danielle Klimmer from Annie Maher in the 41st minute. Kept, you know, a bit of daylight there, a bit of life there for Clonmac and my van. And then the super sub, Marie Kennelly, she came on. She was wonderful when she came on above in my van in the semi-final, and she came on in the final, and straight away she got a point, and that made it 7 points to 2-5. And we were coming up to about the 42nd minute, but it was still Nava Bawn who looked the better team. Rosie Lehan pointed 2-6 to 7 points. Then it was Lydia McDonough punched over 2-7 to 7 points. But then the 52nd minute, Aoirne Finucane into Ornett Wall. Ornett turned around, banged it off the crossbar. Who was on hand to catch the rebound? Marie Kennelly. What did she do? She put it into the back of the net. 1-7 to 2-7. That was the 52nd minute. There was a bit of hope, but then Nava Bawn, they came down the field. They popped it over the bar. 2-8 to 1-7. There was turnovers then by both sides. It looked like it was going to be inevitable. Aoirne Finucane, in the 63rd minute of the game, put over a free. That put a single score in it, one goal. And then in the 65th minute, we had a free in. It dropped inside. Aoirne Finucane somehow got her hands on the ball, turned around and finished expertly. Back of the net, the whole place went mental. Mallow went mental because it was a fierce crowd from North Kerry there. And it was 2-8 to 2-8 and it went to extra time. Unfortunately, in extra time, Clonmac and my van had a goal chance right at the start of the game. They missed it. They missed their goal chance. And it was Nava Bawn who got 3 points in that extra time to seal the deal. They just had that bit extra, I suppose, that bit extra pep in their step than what Clonmac and my van had. But what a performance by Clonmac and my van. And they can really hold their heads high.
Yeah. Fiona, I'm going to bring you back in on this one. And again, a small bit about what Dan was saying to start, is that kind of never say die attitude by this Clonmac and my van team. We saw it throughout the kind of county championship and even their kind of build up from junior up to kind of the intermediate as well. And now they're heading for senior. They're a great bunch there out in North Kerry, and that kind of a tough spot to go, I'd imagine, to try win a match as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think last year in the intermediate, we went up to them with Beaufort, and yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't playing that day, but we got kind of well beaten, I think, in the end. But we kind of knew playing them that day that they were going to be strong. And I know they didn't win it last year, but even this year, any game they played, it was always tough. They played MKL in the group stage and lost by a couple of points, I think. And then even in the final, when we all thought probably that MKL probably had one hand on the trophy, and probably we all thought that they probably were going to go on to win it, that Clonmac and this didn't stop. And I think probably their fitness and must be obviously their mindset as well, that they just don't give in, and came back obviously in the county final. And then again yesterday, like to get a goal to bring a game to extra time in the 65th minute, it shows, I suppose, massive resilience and probably their fitness as well. In the end, probably a normal time, they put so much energy into it, and then to get that to get that goal by Aaron Finucane was unbelievable, and I think it really added to the spectacle. I think we were all delighted to get another 20 minutes of the game, but yeah, I think then when extra time did probably start, it was probably hard for them to get the energy and to kind of get themselves riled back up again for another 20 minutes. And yeah, they're obviously a serious group, and hopefully, you know, for them that they'll stay together. And obviously next year going up to senior is going to be a massive jump again, but I think it's something that they'll probably relish. And yeah, they were very impressive yesterday, and just going to Naval Bawn, I suppose, when you're playing, I think when you draw a Cork team in the junior or intermediate side of things, they're always probably going to be the toughest that you might face. And I thought they were very impressive yesterday, and I thought Lehan, corner forward, and Lydia McDonough had a serious, serious game, the two of them. So, yeah, I think they'll be strong going forward, but I think Kilmacken can definitely take a lot of confidence in that performance yesterday. I know probably today probably doesn't feel like that, but I think looking back on the year that they've had, I think once they have a couple of weeks that they'll be fairly satisfied with where they're at going into next year.
Yeah, absolutely, Fiona. We're delighted to be joined now at the moment by Ashley Sheehy as well. She's the captain of Clonmacken My Van. I think Fiona put it perfectly there. Ashley, I think you might be feeling today, but maybe in time over the Christmas dinner or something, you might be able to look back and say it was a fantastic year for you, and one to definitely build on going up to senior level next year.
Oh, thanks so much, Ivan, Fiona and Dan for having me. But I think a few of the girls met today, even for lunch and stuff, and I think it's probably sinking in like what we have achieved. Like, we're a young club, maybe not my age, but in general, like in our progress. So like seeing from junior A to or junior B to junior A, intermediate, county champs, I think it's going to sink in very lively, like that we're going to come in senior next year. This month last year we started our prep, like we started in the gym this month last year, so I'd say we probably have to start next week now for a senior. But
you're sure you're entitled to a break, are you?
Yeah, no, we absolutely are. The girls are amazing, our management, the community is behind us, but like that, maybe it was just in to lose two Munster finals in 2 years, it's a tough one. But like that, some people never get to a Munster final, some people never get to a county final and win it in the end. I told Danielle Schlemmer, she's a Los Angeles resident, like, but I told her I don't think many Americans now can say they've been in two Munster finals. So I'm relishing the achievements we've had, I suppose. I'm that bit older than a lot of the panels, so I know I have a couple of years left, so hopefully we'll get a senior title at some stage as well. I don't mind if I have 30 on my back and I'm barely moving, but it'll be great.
You'll be there for the medal, definitely. Actually, I thought, just like, talk to me about the end of the game in particular. It was fairly exciting. We heard Tim's bit of commentary, we saw it on the stream and everything else. It was fantastic excitement right at the end to force extra time. As a player, do you keep believing until the full time whistle, or is it kind of a case of, no, this thing's done and dusted now at this stage? Could you believe it even yourself when the goal went in?
I think as Dan said, we're like that annoying fly. I just tell you, it was pure stubbornness. We just knew we can keep going. The same thing happened in the county final. We were 5 points down. Lithgannon, we knew we played a terrible first half in the semi-final in Munster. Like that, the occasion being at home in Munster semi-final might have got to us. But like that, we knew we can, like at halftime, we knew we're like, we can push on here big time. I think if you see the clip of Aaron, someone literally trying to pull her down, but she still kept going. So like Aaron, I think, embodies all of us there, how we can keep going to literally the last second.
Yeah, no, you definitely can, and we've probably seen that throughout this year. As you say, look, it's obviously going to be a big step up next year, Ashley, and we'll let you enjoy the kind of Christmas and everything else before it, but a big step up to senior. But I'm sure the players, and particularly probably the younger amongst the panel as well, they'll fear nothing next year, and they look forward going to a big year in the county championship for them next year as well with Clonmacken My Van.
Oh, absolutely. I think that I can't believe it anyway, being senior now. I've been there so long, but the younger girls, like saying to a lot of them, you know, you have to stay up senior now, and they're like Kelly Enright, Michaela Mulville, they've been in the Kerry setups all the way through and underage, and Kelly was in the seniors now, Michaela will be next. But like that, we needed them to bring us there as well, so we are so grateful that they're in our club. And again, the underage girls coming through will keep us up there, and hopefully we'll have a senior title. Maybe 2 years. It's been 2 years every time, so we'll see.
Yeah, look, you're well in with a chance anyway, Ashley. And look, fair play to you yesterday. You were fantastic, and I think, you know, you mentioned Erin Finucane and there what a game she had again. And you know, when the chips were down, and she really dug in and she kept going for you like she always has. Like, you know, and she really embodies what you're all about, doesn't she?
She does, and I can say truthfully that she has the biggest heart of Clonmacin in that chest. And to come like playing underage with Erin, I think she was like 8 or 9 playing under 12s with us, and again was just as phenomenal as she is now. And we've had so many different players coming together, like, and the Wall sisters. We've so many sisters that are so talented on the panel, and to get a few more, like Laura Sheeran. I thought she had a fantastic game yesterday. Before she got injured, she was just firing on all cylinders. She's put in some shifts this year, like improving like fitness and strength as well, like that no one can run after her. So hopefully we'll see everyone tearing down the field next year as well in senior and getting all the scores that we deserve.
No, absolutely, that's brilliant, and thanks very much for joining us, Ashley. I know it is a tough one to come on after a defeat, but I think heads held well high in Clonmacin, and no doubt you'll be back amongst it next year. And we might give you a pass next year, so if you're telling us that, and I'll tell Dan to be nice to you next year, and we'll judge you on the following year then.
Dan has to keep calling us underdogs now.
Look, I knew if I made you favourites, forget about it. You know, you wouldn't be there.
No, you'd
prefer the underdog tag.
Fair play to you, Ashley. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks a million.
No, pleasure. We have to take a break, and we'll be moving to some fantastic news. We did get a trophy come back over to County Bones, and that went to Cremorne in the Junior Championship final. We'll talk to them after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Now, welcome back to Terrace Talk. It's Ivan Hurley in the midst of the company of Dan Kearney, Fiona Tadney, and we have plenty from Cremorne coming up in the next couple of minutes. They are the LGFA Munster Club Junior Football Champions. They had a big win over St. Pat's, 6-17 to 2-6. And what we'll do now is we'll hear from their manager, Anne-Marie O'Donoghue. She was chatting to Dan Kearney after the game.
Free from desire playing in the background. The desire was there today. You were fantastic, Anne-Marie. You must be absolutely thrilled.
Oh, so proud. I think everything that we worked on this year actually finally clicked today. Our kicking game was superb. I thought our middle eight were so strong. She's Mary Kate there, and Orla Dunphy like led from centre back and centre forward. Every chance we had, we attacked today. And the difference between today and other games is we were clinical in front of goals.
Absolutely clinical, and I suppose look, the combination inside, it was obvious from the very first few seconds. Early ball in, Tiamat Burke was going to pay dividends. You know, Roisin played a little ball in, it just went wide. But you could see from then on that was the game plan.
Oh, the intent was just to go and attack. They hadn't seen us play, we hadn't seen him play, so all the cuteness and the tactics went out the window. We said let's go play football today and let's just really just drive at it, and I got him so proud of that group.
Absolutely, and I suppose look, he had a very, very strong breeze in the first half. You know, he went in maybe 2-10-1-4, I think it was at half time. They got a bit of a purple patch maybe with 5 minutes to go. What was the chat like in the dressing room at half time?
Even though we were ahead on the scoreboard, we weren't happy with, I suppose, some of the decisions had gone against us, and we knew we were leaving the hand in and the foul, so we had to work on that and just try and be a little bit more disciplined. And then there was chances that some of them weren't coming off. We were trying a little bit too hard at times, and then in the second half, like against the wind, we were just oh my god, they were just clinical. They just played with freedom, and it was brilliant to watch. It was an absolute joy to stand back and watch.
2 years at the helm, you obviously came in. Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that this was where you would be the 1st of November, Cremorne would be Munster champions when you went in and took the reins?
To be fair to Ger Burke, he's been with them for the last number of years and he had the groundwork done with them. And then this year we just, Ger stepped back because he had given 3 or 4 years with the team. And we decided the girls wanted myself and Chris to stay on, so we approached Patty and PJ to come on board, and we got Anne Smith in as our flow. And then we just had a new management team, and we met in February and we said we were going to train once a week. We weren't going to train for the sake of it, and we just put a little program in place, and we just built steadily throughout the year. And I know it's a cliche that's been used the whole time, but it was always one game at a time. All we wanted to do was win Kerry, and then everything after was a bonus. And sure, today was an absolute dream.
There you go. Winning Munster a bonus then. Not a huge amount of people say that. They'd want to go to start the year, win the county straight to Munster. But what a fantastic game, a marvellous performance. And I was going to say 5-star because I was 6-star with the 6 goals as well. Incredible.
Yeah, incredible performance. And look, it's I suppose, when they got over Dohany's in the semi final, and obviously that went to extra time and free kicks afterwards. And I think that really was it. You know, once they got over that, I never had a doubt that they were going to beat St. Patrick's in the final. But you know what, it was like they were unleashed. It was like they came out and they did everything that Anna Marie and PJ, their coaches, wanted them to do, and they played that kind of football. It was just scintillating to watch. It was magnificent, and they just blew St. Patrick's away, and they were phenomenal. You know, Roisin Griffin there, she got 3-1, I think. Emma Burke got 1-9 player of the game. Like, you know, it was it was the whole team. Like, I'm not just singling them out. Like, from Idel Murphy all the way up to Saoirse Harkin and the subs that came on, they were just phenomenal. Well drilled side and worthy Munster champions.
Yeah, Fiona, I suppose we were chatting to Dan last week about that semi-final and those free kicks and kind of the mentality to come through there and then to land into a final to win by such a big margin, 23-point win in the end. It's fairly unheard of at kind of a Munster final level as well, so there must be good things going on out in Cremorne.
Yeah, definitely. I think just even in the interview there, I think when they, you know, their main probably goal this year was to get out of Kerry, and I think they did have obviously a very tough game against Ballymac in the final, but I think when they got over the line, it probably gave them that relief and took all the pressure off their shoulders. And I suppose, as I said there, from then on, anything is a bonus. But I suppose you go up to Cork, up to Dunmanway, and you beat Donaghy's with the likes of Melissa Duggan and stuff playing, and I think to win it in the manner they did, in free kicks, probably gives you that more belief that, like, what you have as a team and within your group. And then I think you get a lot of satisfaction, I think, as a player from in the final. It's the biggest day, and when you play well as a team, and then when you have individual performances that Cremorne had on Saturday as well, like their inside line, Roisin getting 3-1, Emer getting 1-9, like, you take serious satisfaction, I think, out of that, because the biggest day is you want the team to play well, show what you've been training for all year. And I think they just blew St. Pat's out of the water. And I think the thing is, though, for Cremorne, they're probably celebrating and thinking how well they played on Saturday, but I think now they'll probably realise how probably good of a team that they are. And I suppose once you get that taste of success in Kerry and Munster, you're probably thinking, no, sure, why not go for the All-Ireland? So I know, I think they're away, is it to the Ulster Champions, I think,
yeah,
in the final. But I think, yeah, when you win them two cups, and I know you're going away, but like, you may as well just go for it now. And I think that's definitely the mindset that Cremorne will have after playing that well. They'll know that it'll take a very good team to stop them, I think, going all the way, hopefully.
Yeah, you'll know plenty about PJ and Anna Marie for your time in with Kerry as well. Fantastic coaches, and as Dan said, kind of a well-drilled side that seemed to go by exactly what the coaches had told them on the sideline as well.
Yeah, definitely. And obviously, you know, you can have the players, but I think a lot of the time as well, it takes a massive input from the management. And when you get the right management team together, it just kind of shows where you can go as a group. And I think obviously having Amod and PJ is huge, because the girls in ISK, I would have played with a lot of them Cremorne girls in school. We had Amod training us in school, and then obviously you're used to playing with each other in school, then you go to club, you're playing with each other. And I think this is probably a culmination of years work gone into one performance on Saturday, and when everything clicks, that it's huge for them. But I think getting the likes of like Adele Murphy back as well is absolutely massive for Cremorne. Like, we saw how good she was every time she put on a Kerry jersey, and just to have her at the back is like having a solid foundation. I think in a house, almost, you just know that you're so secure back there, and it probably leaves the players up the field, probably express themselves a bit more as well. And I think they have a solid group together now between management and the playing group. So yeah, I think they'll definitely be enjoying the last couple of weeks anyway.
Yeah, well, we can hear from the camp now. Delighted to be joined by Maureen Duffy, the captain, and Adele Murphy as well, who was in goal for Cremorne yesterday. Girls, you're very welcome along. I'll start with you, Maureen. I suppose lifting a Munster title for Cremorne, that'll be one that'll be long, long live in your memory, I'd imagine, anyway.
Hi there, thanks very much for having me. Yeah, it was amazing. I suppose it was never something that was on our radar. It was always Kerry, but to get to Munster, like, that's an opportunity that we never thought we'd have, and it was an absolute dream to get to lift it there on Saturday.
Yeah, and to win the way he did, I'd imagine he had a couple of celebratory drinks maybe on Saturday evening, but it was a fantastic performance, and to win by 23 points in the Munster final, mentioned earlier on, it's kind of unheard of. It is a fantastic achievement and a huge bolster for you, maybe looking on to a potential All-Ireland campaign as well.
Yeah, thanks very much. I suppose after the Kerry final to Ballymac and the Munster semi-final against Johnny's in Dunmanway, we were kind of delighted then yesterday to get the big win, because I think we needed it. We kind of showed our resilience with the other two games where it went really down to the wire with those two. So we were really delighted to get to push on. And as Anne-Marie said in her interview, it really all clicked for us yesterday, and it finally all came together for us. So we were over the moon with our performance.
Yeah, there is a lot of talk, Maureen, about PJ and Anne-Marie and the kind of management ticket that they are, and them together are so strong. Have you seen that kind of in training and the build-up to the matches and everything else, how strong they are as a management ticket for you?
Oh, 100%. Like, as Fiona said there, we're all very familiar with Anne-Marie over the years. I'd say she's coached about 90% of us through the intermediate school in Clorglan. So we're very familiar with her, but they're just a fantastic team. Anne-Marie, PJ, Patty, Chris, Anne and Sora, we're just so lucky to have them. It's not lost enough the calibre of management that we have, like, for a very small club. But, yeah, they're great. Like, the thought they put into every drill and every training is just phenomenal, and the respect we have for them is massive. So we're very, very lucky.
Yeah, and Adele, over to you. I suppose playing in goal in these finals is always a tough test. Obviously, you were ahead in the score for a long while on the scoreboard, so there wasn't too much pressure coming down. But always a tricky position. You can be put under a lot of pressure as well. Do you like playing back in goal?
Yeah, I suppose goals can be a lonely place at times. But look, yesterday or on Saturday, the girls put in an absolutely phenomenal performance. From defence all the way to attack, you know, even from the corner forward back, defending was unbelievable. So it made my job a lot easier yesterday. But yeah, no, it's great. It's great to be back. I suppose I've been off for the last 10 years, I suppose, playing football. So it's great to get back into playing ball again. And, you know, this club is absolutely fantastic. The girls, everyone involved in the management, the backroom team, all our supporters, it's absolutely fantastic to be involved again. Yep.
It was a masterstroke, really, by Anne-Marie to get you to come back. Adele, how did that conversation start, and how did it go? Because, like you say, you were out of football for a while. You had started off as a forward, played for Kerry as a forward, then went into goals, won an All-Star. But she obviously saw that you were needed back there. So how did the conversation go?
So I suppose I was based in Dublin for a long time there, and I was moving home in February, and I found out, I suppose, that I got the phone call around January time. Herself and PJ were on the phone to me, and to be honest, she'd sell ice to Eskimos. She was very, very persistent and confident in how she was putting everything forward, and to be honest, I didn't take much arm twisting. I was delighted to get back involved, and it's been great since.
You look, Adele and Maureen, unfortunately, just the time has ticking past us. It was a very quick hour this evening. Look, massive congratulations again. Plenty of preparation going now for an All-Ireland tilt, and hopefully we'll be talking about you heading for that All-Ireland final. But congratulations for now, and thanks again for taking the time out this evening to chat to us.
Fingers crossed. Thanks a minute. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's Maureen Duffy and Adele Murphy from Come On. Dan, thanks very much for popping in, and to Fiona as well. Unfortunately, the time doesn't belong ticking away, and we're wishing Come On the very best. We've plenty coming up as well on the second hour in Terrace Talk, so don't go away. You can give a text 083 300 3300 or you can call 066 712366.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
Now, hi Ivan, huge congrats to the Come On ladies on Saturday. What a complete performance of skills, stamina and power. Massive congrats to Anne-Marie O'Donoghue and PJ Reedy and the rest of the management team on this. That's from all in Glenbay, Glencare. And well done to Southern Gales and management for putting on such a good performance in the Munster final on Sunday. Continued luck to them, and congratulations to the Come On ladies team and management for winning the Munster final. That's from Dermot and Margaret Ann. Thanks very much indeed for that one. Now on the line is former Kerry footballer Gavin Crowley. There's two workshops coming up for his brand U-Man. Gavin, you're welcome along. You might explain a small bit about what's going on this week.
Cheers, Ivan. Thanks for having me on. So I have two workshops coming up, one this Thursday and one Thursday fortnight in conjunction with the Kerry Recreation Sports Partnership and my own company, U-Man. So we have a workshop called Protecting Our Youth Athletes, and it's geared towards coaches, parents and even youth athletes themselves on how to monitor their load and what is load and how to monitor it, what is overtraining, what does that look like, and different areas in regards to how youth athletes can protect themselves against overtraining and overuse injuries and things like that.
Yeah, I suppose hugely important in 2025 going into 2026 now, Gavin, as well, given that, you know, youngsters especially kind of want to try out so many different sports, and they might be going with football one minute and off to hurling training, they might have soccer the weekend or whatever it is, and it's great to have them involved, but you have to be kind of careful and manage, especially as they're growing up and the muscles are growing and everything else. It's probably important that the kind of the maybe young adults into the early years, into maybe playing adult at senior level, very important to kind of monitor and kind of track what you're doing to make sure that your body can keep up, I suppose.
Exactly, and that's exactly what it's for. I think we found that young athletes at the moment, they have access to so many different sports, way more than they had before. They're being pulled and dragged in all different directions for multiple different age groups. And it's just how trying to keep on tabs on that, keep track of the athletes and make sure they're not doing too much or they're not doing too little. And how do we do that, and what's best practice to try and, support them so that they're not getting injuries, they're not getting, bad knees, bad hips, bad backs, just from doing too much at a young age. They could be going through periods of growth, or they could be developing, and just how do we monitor their load as they're going through those stages of growth.
Yeah, and again, that is hugely important, because I suppose the longer you can kind of avoid injury, the more likely it is that it won't reoccur and stuff like that, Gavin, as well. So it's kind of probably important to kind of nip that in the bud early doors and kind of maybe figure out ways to avoid injury at the best possible times as well for you.
Exactly. I mean, we've all seen cases where the athletes that are being at the top, they're being pulled and dragged, and you see a lot of them picking up these knocks and injuries that might hinder them as they come to senior level. They're picking up knocks, they're getting injured too often. Whereas maybe if their load was minded, they were looked after more, and their coaches and parents had a bit of an idea of how to look after them a bit better, that maybe those injuries mightn't have happened, and they might have developed a bit more aptly. I think so. That's what we're just looking at, and that's what we're hoping we can achieve.
Yeah,
The idea where this came from was, first of all, I did the research. I did a research master's in an N2 Kerry, and I found that just the lack of education and the coaches and the parents around the area of load and around the area of how do I know when my child is doing too much, or how do I know when my child is doing too little, or how do I push them on, or how much recovery should they be getting, and maybe sometimes you might need to push them to go a bit more. So I suppose the idea of being is, what are the best recommendations for doing so?
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose kind of the workshops then, Gavin, are they more aimed around kind of maybe coaches of different clubs to come in? Is it aimed at parents? Is it kind of aimed at kind of anybody involved with kids in sport or youths in sport? What exactly is the workshop aimed at, or what group are we looking at?
Yeah. We're looking at all coaches to do with any sport. So this isn't geared towards just Gaelic football. It's geared towards coaches and parents of kids who are playing any sport, any physical activity. It's not just geared towards one sport. So we want to get parents and coaches across multiple sports. I think when we can get them across multiple sports, we can have better discussions, more informed discussions about kids from different backgrounds. And it just makes the workshops that even much more informative. So if we can just get the coaches and parents from a vast, background of different sporting activities, it'd be brilliant.
Yeah, and obviously then, you know, just from an outsider looking in, Gavin, you'd be kind of looking at maybe, an hour-long rugby session might be worth a two-hour maybe Gaelic football session, whatever it is, if there's kind of high intensity and tackles and everything else. So I suppose when you kind of do get to talk to coaches, and if you are bringing them in along kind of the plan and through the workshop, you're kind of explaining maybe how that works and how, you know, a tougher session one day might, you know, need to make a lighter session the next day.
100%, that's exactly it. Yeah, so I suppose you're trying to educate them into, what does a hard session look like? What does an easy session look like? As a coach, how can you be more adaptable that you find out that your players come into you today and they've already played a match yesterday, or they've already trained this morning, or they've already trained three times this week? What can you do as a coach to help those kids? Maybe you just do a skill session with them, or you adapt your session based on what they've done throughout the week. Maybe it's a case they haven't done enough and you might need to push them that bit more, or maybe they've done too much and you might just need to do a nice easy session with them for that day. So I suppose just educating coaches on how to adapt your session based on, I suppose, the kids that are coming into you on the day and what they look like. And I suppose good ways, I suppose the thing there now is how do you communicate with the kids? So I suppose they're going to come in and they're going to tell you they're fine, but how do you create an environment as a coach where they can come to you and they can say, look, I've done a lot today or I've done a lot yesterday. And as a coach, you've created that environment that you can adapt your session and they feel comfortable coming to you, I suppose, and that's what we're looking at as well.
Yeah. Obviously, in the workshop side of it, it's probably important to kind of, you know, meet people on the ground and kind of hands-on information and all that. So you might just give out the dates and times, everything else, and how maybe people need to sign up in advance or all kind of the T's and C's, Gavin, if you would.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. So I suppose to sign up, you can go on our Instagram pages. So you can go on the UMON Instagram page. It's YOUMON underscore youth monitoring on Instagram, or else you can look at the Kerry Recreation and Sports Partnership page and you can go through the links there. So we're in Farn 4 this Thursday from 7 to 9 p.m. And then we are in 2 weeks later, we are in Clarglen, same time from 7 to 9 p.m.
Brilliant, nice central locations. And again, open to kind of all coaches, no matter what age groups you're kind of coaching, you think that this might be worth a look at?
Yeah, all coaches from all levels. I suppose you want to catch the earlier you can catch them, the better. So coaches from all levels are welcome, of course.
Brilliant stuff, Gavin. So that's this Thursday in Farn 4 and you're looking at 2 weeks time then in Clarendon.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Look, best luck with it, Gavin. It's interesting. It's nice to see someone put their thesis to good use or whatever else in their master's degree. And no better man, I'd imagine, to talk people through the training process you're well used to through the years at elite level with Kerry and everything. Look, Gavin, continued success. And thanks very much for taking the time out this evening to chat to us about it.
Thanks so much for having me on, Evan. It's brilliant.
Cheers. Absolute pleasure. That's former Kerry footballer Gavin Crowley. Of course, he was on with us around the time of the All-Ireland down in Drumquin. It feels like years ago now, months ago. But yeah, looking ahead to the All-Ireland. But yeah, you, man, very interesting about protecting our youth. And obviously very important when kids are playing all different sports. And I suppose we're blessed here in Kerry that we've access to Gaelic football and hurling and GA at a very high level, and of course soccer and rugby and badminton and basketball or whatever else you want to play in Kerry, you kind of have the options are there. So a lot of underage players, especially in our own times of books and study and everything else, are trying to work out kind of training plans, and you're being pulled left, right and centre to different things. So maybe coaches might have to have a look at maybe relax the football training one night for the rugby or blah blah blah, however that'll work itself out. So yeah, good one there from Gavin Crowley. So that's happening in Clarendon, UMON on Instagram, or the Kerry Youth Recreation Services online as well. You'll find all the information you want on those workshops. But speaking of a mix of sport, we have a mixed bag right throughout the show today. We had ladies football, we're on to youth workshops, we're going to boxing shortly, but first we'll be heading to soccer. And what a fantastic evening it was on Saturday for Kerry FC, the first ever League of Ireland piece of silverware is here in the kingdom, and here in our studios in Tralee as well. We'll be chatting to a few of the players and the manager after this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
From the morning routines to cosy family moments, Grant has been bringing comfort to homes for over 45 years. With our biofuel-compatible condensing boilers, heat pumps and underfloor heating, you can trust Grant to heat your home now and into the future. Think heating, think Grant. Visit grant.ie.
Hi, Emmett here from Audi Kerry. We can't wait to show you the 261 Audi lineup at our special test drive event from November 3rd, including the all-new Q3 and A6 models, now available in diesel, electric and plug-in hybrid. Offers include purchase contributions on all electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles, plus upgrade packs with thousands of savings. So call to us at Audi Kerry, Mona Valley, Tralee, or visit audikerry.ie.
With an ESB Network smart meter, you're in control. Track your daily, weekly and monthly electricity usage so you can choose the right plan for your home. Smart meters help all of us make smarter energy choices, so we can work together for Ireland's cleaner electric future. Sign up to a free ESB Networks online account today and see how your smart meter can work for you. ESB Networks. Energising your everything.
The clocks have gone back and the temperature is falling. If you haven't dipped your oil tank yet, then it may be time for a refill. Well, make sure you tune in to Kerry's Full Breakfast First, as this week, Andrew and Elaine have €600 in Kerry Petroleum Home Heating Oil vouchers to be won. Reduce your bills and win a chance to keep warm for less this winter. Kerry Petroleum, your local oil company.
Breaking down the weekend's sporting action. This is Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
No, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, and we've moved in a couple of the Kerry FC men's under 20 side who won the Shield final, beating Shamrock Rovers, maybe getting one back on Shamrock Rovers for the senior semi-final. Don't know, maybe it's the same level, but a fantastic achievement nonetheless. I'd like to be joined by Oran Horgan, the captain of the side, Luke Doolan, the man who got the two goals, and Dunno O'Brien, who will claim he masterminded it all anyway. Lads, you're welcome along. I suppose, Oran, first of all, massive congratulations to you. First ever Kerry FC captain to lift a trophy. It mightn't have been in your head on Saturday, but you'll be in the history books. You must be delighted.
Ah, yeah, it was brilliant, to be fair, just to get over the line with all the boys after a good year. Obviously, a lot of training has gone in during the year, and just delighted to get over the line in the end.
Yeah, and got it over the line. You did, in torrential rain, typical Mount Hawk Park weather. You'll be delighted with the fella beside you as well. It was just one of those finals that it just felt like it was going to go on all night, and then all of a sudden Shamrock Rovers got the goal in 93rd minute. Said, this is it, game over. I was nearly ready to pack up my laptop, and then all of a sudden this man once again got that leveller. The emotion there alone was enough, but to do it then in the 120th minute. Kerry FC just don't do things easily, do they?
No, but I suppose we always just backed each other out there, and even when the goal went in, we didn't stop. We just kept going, even brought on a sub there with 2 minutes to go, and he was instrumental towards the goal. Mm-hmm. And then took it to extra time, and obviously, like you said, the weather was shocking, and we just kept fighting, and in the last second then Luke just got in, and absolute scenes then.
Yeah, the video is quite funny. If you're on the Kerry FC social media page, you'll see everyone bar Dunna run down the line after it as well, which was it's a magic moment. And like, you know, we kind of talked, as you know, a lot of talk about Kerry FC has come obviously in the last three seasons with the senior team, but this has been here 5-6 years now, and it is the first bit of silverware. So like, You know, you're young lads and everything else, but that is a significant moment in the club's history. And we saw the 15s and the 14s go over to England and bring home silverware from there. But this is the first League of Ireland trophy to land into Kerry, into Kerry FC. So it's a phenomenal achievement, Oran. And I know you're probably playing, you're kind of, you know, trying to break into senior teams and everything else, but that it's an achievement in itself to win this. And, you know, that'll be one that'll go down in history.
Oh yeah, it's brilliant. Like last year I was in with the 17s team, and we pushed hard, we got to a Mark Farren Cup final and just fell up short on the day. So going into the year, obviously we had big ambitions to push on and see what we could do this year, and it was just really nice to, especially with the group we had, to get it over the line in the end, like I said.
Yeah. Luke, you were the man to grab the two goals, and fantastic goals they were. You had a hat-trick a couple of weeks ago as well. I suppose we saw when you first came over from Clarny Athletic in the summer, it was kind of Colin Healy announced you, and then plenty of time with the senior squad and the academy. You must be enjoying your time with Kerry FC so far.
It's very good, to be fair, especially coming from a smaller club like Athletic, but we had good management and played with a decent team in Athletic, played with some very good players, and then coming to a League of Ireland side, just coming straight in was tough at the start, but it took me a while to get going, and I eventually got going in the end, and yeah, it's going very well so far.
It's a nice balance, and of course you had it with Athletic as well, with kind of the youths and the senior and everything else, but it's nice to be able to be maybe training with the seniors and then going down and playing with the 20s and maybe taking a session with them and back up and down. You're surrounded by kind of football in the club, and they have you to thank as well for the two goals on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice being able to train with the first team and then come down and play for Dunna and the other team, and just hopefully help them out each week. And I hope that I have some weeks and I haven't other weeks as well. But
you definitely did on Saturday anyway. Talk me through the two goals. I suppose the first one, I spoke to Ryan Perez after the game. He was sickened that he didn't bury it himself, but you mopped it up in the edge of the 6-yard box. And in the second one, I'm still watching. I don't know, is it the wind or is it the rain or what is it? But the ball just kind of, you caught everyone off guard behind the Shamrock Rovers defence, and probably as a number 9, you have to be sharp to that stuff as well, Luke.
Exactly. The first goal, got lucky, I suppose, is in the right spot at the right time. Ryan obviously hit the crossbar and just got there in the end. That was unreal, especially after conceding the 90 plus 4. and then going on and getting it about 40 seconds after tip-off. Mm-hmm. It was just class. And then, like, coming from a strong team like Shamrock Rovers, leaving the ball bounce in the middle wasn't too expected anyway, but
yeah,
could see it happening.
You were wise, Sid.
Gave my last bit of energy and I put into that run and just about got over the keeper and got over the line in. So it was class once went over and
I thought the ball was never going to stop. It was kind of like a wet surface and it seemed to be going away from you more and more. I was like, just please get a toe on it. Donal, look, I suppose I was joking to tell you kind of masterminded the whole lot, but look, a long year for you as well and kind of, you know, in charge of the whole academy, which is a tough job. And there's five teams there at the moment, a sixth team being introduced next year. So the academy is busy, but I'm sure when you see something like this up on the table in front of us after a long year, it makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, like, you know, obviously, like I said, it's a long year. Obviously the five teams in the academy and obviously looking after the 20s as well, there's a lot goes on. You obviously want everyone to kind of push on, but when you get a chance then to coach 20s, you know, on those nights, you really want to maximise the time you have with them. And look, throughout the year, like, the group's been competitive. The first phase, we only finished 3 points off finishing in tier one. And then second phase, then obviously, you kind of, not that you find your level, but you kind of, you win more games, you had a good run there, 4 games in a row, had a small blip, but the boys reacted to it in a crucial game against CK that kind of got us in a home quarterfinal. And then from there, you know, Luke comes up then with a hat-trick and Bray when we were 2-1 down in the quarterfinal. And that performance against Cove now, I think even Oran probably said that was Kerry FC from what he's experienced, you know.
Yeah.
You know, defending deep and then getting your 2 moments, and obviously then Saturday night, it's just everything comes together, and you know, you don't plan to equalise in 96 and 120 minutes and to win it, but you know, you take it. And just, I'm delighted for these boys and delighted for obviously all the group and, you know, the academy. It's coming along nicely. If we, you know, obviously if, with Colin coming in, his experience in academy football too at Cork City, we can push on even more. So these next now year or two, I like to think there'll be a bigger push from the academy, and not just even in Shields and Plates, but hopefully in competing on the elite phase and competing in cup competitions as well.
Yeah, like, talk to me about the under 20 grade, don't know, because it like, you know, you're kind of looking at it and you're kind of saying, you know, Luke is kind of up and down with the first team, Oran's the same, you're talking, you know, Ryan Perez was in starting the last couple of games, you had Luke Palmer, you know, there's so many names, you know, there's people who might be, you know, passing interest in Kerry FC, but recognising kind of that starting lineup on Saturday for the 20s. So like, you're kind of trying to juggle two teams as well. It's a lot of workload. They're training with seniors, they're in around, you know, the 20s group, trying to, you know, get your tactics right and everything. It is difficult, but it just probably goes to show kind of the, I suppose, the ethos maybe amongst the players in the group, that they want to do well, and that, you know, if their fellas play for the senior, their heads aren't too big to come down, they want to play for the 20s and do well with that team as well. And you can see it in the celebrations, everyone was there for each other despite some of them lads having the senior jersey for most of the year as well.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest kind of thing with the 20s is how, look, you do have your kind of your squad of, let's say, 20 odd players, and then obviously, look, there is probably that kind of thing where lads maybe just feel like maybe it's not for them, and obviously fellas then coming down from the first team then, so there is a lot to juggle. But I think, like, and obviously it's great to have Oran here. Oran would have known it's been like a really, you know, consistent group of maybe 17, 18 of us, Oran, you'd say, you know. And then obviously when Luke joined, Luke's came down quite a bit, and I think to fair these boys buying, because I think these boys know, well, if I want to get in the first team, I have to perform here, you know, because obviously the conversation would happen then, you know, with Colin and with Chris and Connor. And I think, you know, the biggest thing when these boys do come down is they perform, and they have relative for a lot of the year. I would say that there has very few players that haven't came down and haven't put in their best. So, you know, like, the under 20 grade is it's obviously a crucial grade for first team players who are trying to make squads, or the young players. But for the boys that have been here all year, you know, they've put in some serious work, and hopefully for them now they can push on and potentially make a first team pre-season squad, and then from there, you know, hopefully can go into the league form starting next year.
Yeah. Oran, as Donal was mentioning there, I suppose you've been kind of there for a long time now with Kerry FC. You've been soldiering away with the lads, and a lot of those lads around you, you're looking at the likes of Togar, Elion, a lot of the lads there are kind of, you know, been with you the whole way, and like that, as mentioned, you've been kind of up and down to that senior team. You must be enjoying your time with the club as well.
Oh yeah, I'm loving it, to be fair, ever since I came in there, 17's first year. And we've kind of been developing as a group, like Donna said, kind of all the way up, just kind of getting to know all the boys as we go. And I think it's kind of clear as well, it's nice to see that the club's going in a really good direction. You can see that even with the players that the club are signing, and even just results with the senior team, how seriously everything's being taken. And I think just really enjoying my time there. So That's all I can say.
Yeah, that kind of pathway is great as well, isn't it, Oran? You know, you're kind of looking at, you're saying that, you know, you can go kind of from the 17s last year, you said playing the, you know, the McFarren Cup in Tolka Park last year to this year and kind of beating Shamrock Rovers and like that. You've been in amongst the senior side as well. So like, you know, the opportunities are kind of there now in Kerry. And you know, I remember chatting to lads before the senior side was in, they're kind of saying, oh, there's kind of no progression. We can kind of get as far as here. But now the senior side is there. You can play till you're 35, 40, whatever your body wants to tell you. Like, you know, that kind of progression is there now in Kerry. And it's probably good for see the lads around you who've come through the 17s into the 20s who want to make the break into that senior team. And as Donna said, Colin's there watching. If that opportunity is there, it's there and you could be there for a lifetime. So that kind of full progression now is in the club, and getting trophies up along the way then is just adds to it.
Oh yeah, it's a great incentive, to be fair, knowing that your performances aren't being dismissed or anything, like, do you know what I mean? You can just, you know, there's a real connection with, say, like Donna and all our coaches with the 20s, with the first team coaches then, and you know that you have, if you're performing, you'll get chances. Mm. You can get to go in training, try and impress, and then hopefully get to play as well. So it's great to have that in place, you know, now, and really just enjoying that too.
Yeah, and just kind of working towards it again for next year. Luke, I suppose for you again, you're kind of not in the door a huge amount of time. Again, it's only since the summer you've a medal under your belt and a trophy that'll only stand to you going forward into next year. I suppose kind of hopes and aspirations, what are you hoping to get out of maybe Colin Healy? Will it be under the 20s with Dunne again next year? Look forward to getting another trophy maybe there. What's kind of the hopes and dreams starting into pre-season in January?
Yeah, I'd like to play the 20s again, obviously. Get another shield under our belt again, another title. It'd be nice to just win a few things. And then, obviously, if I could get in with the first team, play a few games. Like, I got minutes for the first team this year, which I didn't expect so soon, but I'm grateful for it. And hopefully next season, now I can maybe get in more frequently and just play more games and stuff.
Yeah, you can probably see it as kind of a development thing though, Luke, as well. I suppose when you came in, you know, it's great to see you in around the senior side as well, but I suppose you're kind of looking at it as a kind of a development kind of point of view of kind of a, you know, a build up maybe to where you want to get as well. And that's, you know, ideal that you can play with the 20s and the seniors kind of in around the same time.
Yeah, it's great to be involved with both teams because you get a feel for it anyway. Like, you're playing with different players every week. Like, if you're going down for a game with the first team on Friday and then come in with Donna, don't get minutes on Friday, come down, play Saturday and just try and do my best, just get a few goals,
yeah,
do something productive anyway.
Yeah, and that is, it's all minutes on the pitch done, isn't it, for these lads? And as you mentioned, like, it's great to have that kind of core 20s group, and you know, you see a couple of lads maybe coming back from injury for the 20s as well, that you know, that kind of options there for them. I suppose just an academy as a whole, done it. As mentioned, you're going to the six teams next year, so it's going to be busy. A second women's team as well, which is great for soccer in the county, and there's plenty of players being sought for these teams as well. So it's a great chance for anyone maybe wanting to get into play football as well, that the opportunities are there in Kerry FC now.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think this new development league now is going to be a big thing for soccer in this county. You know, for girls who are playing with the grassroots clubs or playing with the Kerry Interleague teams, it's important that they see a pathway past, I suppose, 16s, you know, and then when they have a chance to go in, like, next year 17s, now we can sign girls of 2011, so they only be 15. So girls now at 15 years of age can go play League of Ireland football. And then obviously 23s in, albeit it's a 23s team, we still have the ability to sign players over the 23s age group. So,
okay,
you know, it's not just a thing of, obviously the league's still young, but there's room for players to come in who are interested past 23 years of age to come in and, look, I think give it a go. Do you know what? If you give it a go and you like it, and if you don't like it, then that's fair too. But it's a new opportunity, it's fresh, it's different. So hopefully, now under Joan next year, you know, she's put a lot of effort into this last two years.
Yeah.
And next year, look, it's going to be new, it's going to be different. And as long as the girls are competitive, that's the main thing. And I have no doubt they will be under Joan's leadership, you know.
Yeah, and like we probably saw the 17s on the last 2 years. I suppose the first year in particular was kind of the biggest shock. They did so well, finished second, I think, in the table that year. So, you know, you're kind of saying that, you know, the talent is there in Kerry. And as you mentioned, you kind of go up to the under 23, not take away from the men's achievement here tonight, but just kind of looking at kind of, you know, the teams that are going to be there. There is going to be six academy teams in Kerry FC playing League of Ireland football week in, week out. You're talking, what the bones, maybe 20 players per team. So you're looking at kind of 120, maybe 130 youngsters getting League of Ireland experience in Kerry. It's something we wouldn't have dreamed of a couple of years ago, and that's why I'm kind of going back to the trophy, is that you know, it's something that we wouldn't have been even dreaming about kind of going back a couple of years, and all of a sudden you have a senior team, six academy teams, seven on the go next year. It's growing strength to strength in such a short time.
Yeah, and even now next year we'll be recruiting for a 2013 boys team, so at one point there'll be seven teams potentially, and I know there's probably aspirations in the club to maybe even get going with an under 15 development girls team as well, just kind of, I suppose, bridge that gap. And I expect in 27 under 15 women's league, so it's going to keep growing. And like I said, I have 120, you know, boys and girls in the academy. It's huge numbers, and we're lucky to have Mountauk Park as a facility to, you know, I suppose, facilitate all those teams. And it's a credit also to the Kerry District League of how accommodating they are, because I say they know the bigger picture of, you know, 120 kids Friday nights. You know, it's only going to increase the game, and I suppose grow it in this county. And you know, we're lucky enough to have so much available to us. But yeah, I know it's exciting, and there's no doubt about it. Like, you know, we've already big plans already, and you know, the season's already done, but the off season, getting lads in the next 3-4 weeks, and I suppose the hard work starts then. And you know, and then you want to build into January and February, and then the season kicks off in late February, March. So it's a constant cycle, but it's enjoyable. And I like I said earlier, I do see a big season on the academy from I suppose this year going in the next 2-3 years, and hopefully we can push on and we can see more boys like Luke and Orne. And I think I was counting today, I think there's about 12-13 lads who in the 20 squad the last day who've seen a first team squad.
Yeah,
so it's great, like, you know.
Yeah, that's a huge experience for them as well, and for the likes of Orne and Luke here. And you know, even, you know, I think there was a lot of talk around the Shamrock Rovers game, but it was mentioned even the television, the amount of young lads from Kerry that got the chance. And you look at the likes of Dara Fody in goal, and Finn Barrett, and you know, there's so many names here that we haven't even mentioned tonight, but that kind of Kerry feel to the senior team is still there. And you'll see it go in next year as well, that some of the top performers this year were Kerry. And you're talking maybe Ryan Keller was out injured this year, another Clarny man. Luke must have learned everything off Ryan, but like, you know, you're looking at that, you know, there is that sort of Kerry youth spine to the team, and that does help your academy then, because you can come into a 14-year-old and say, look at Luke Doolan, look at Orne Horgan, look, he was the captain here, he won the first trophy, he's from Kerry, you're from Kerry. You're kind of, so that feeder kind of element is there, and you're not going out spending huge money to bring in your massive players like the Premier League clubs are or whatever. It's all based off, you know, the youth player coming in from Kerry, developing them in the academy and making them kind of a world class sort of first division player, if you want to call that, or a world class League of Ireland player.
Yeah, 100%. And like, that's the biggest thing that's happened over the last 2-3 years. And I think the overall picture, I think people on Friday night when they go to Mountauk Park, they want to see the Ronan Tehans, they want to see the Dara Foley's, the Luke Palmers, the Cian Brosnan, sorry, these they want to see the Kerry lads in the team. And I suppose there's a couple of lads who are probably even Limerick based who are in the 20s, Bobby and Jonah, who are, I forget one or two, no apologies, but maybe are not Kerry lads, but they've really bought into what Kerry FC is and that Kerry feel. So look, it's great. And like we're saying, like, I just think that any young child who is 11, 12, 13, like, League of Ireland football is the place to be if you want to progress and you want to be the likes of Luke and Orne in the future. You know, it really is the avenue to go if you want to progress in football. Not even have a career, but you want to, you know, get to the heights of plenty of first division or hopefully Premier Division next couple of years, Ivan, you know, and those nights, they say, in the FAI Cup, it's the place to be. And I recommend any, you know, boys and girls know that if you want to progress and you want to have a, you know, a career in football, like, you know, give Kerry FC a go and see what you think, because, you know, it's here for you now. It's local, it's in Mountauk Park, so hopefully in the next couple of years we can push on, you know.
Keep climbing that ladder. Yeah. Actually, I'm going to come into you, Orne, on that, because I do like the fact you're kind of there since the start of 17s, and there might be young lads listening, 12, 13, want to get into that kind of 13 boys and into under 14 League of Ireland. I presume you'd be advertising it, Orne, you know, for people to come in at, you know, such a young age and kind of get their development inside with Kerry FC, because, you know, that kind of opportunity is there for them now, and that full development right up from 14s to, as Donna said, senior is right there.
Yeah, of course. I couldn't recommend it enough, really, because, like, obviously, I'd know all the coaches nearly in the academy, and just getting to work with them every session nearly, you get to see how good each and every one of them are. Mm-hmm. Getting to see, like, everything we get, you know, like, even on away days, like, everything looked after, say, with our buses, food, everything is top, like, you can't really ask for much more. And I just think, like, when you come in, even like video analysis, everything is sorted for you. I think it's a really good environment if you really want to grow in the game. You can't really get it anywhere else, and I just can't say enough good things really about Kerry FC.
Yeah, brilliant. And let that, the trophy speaks for it all. Lads, continued success. Enjoy the barely 2 months of off time, if even purely being the gym and everything else, and back on the pitch senior side kind of mid-January done, isn't it, with the Munster Senior Cup, and the academies will be back probably mid-February as well.
Yeah, exactly. So
not much downtime.
No, and those cold windy nights watching the first team pre-season, even, you know too well. But you know, but obviously then hopefully it all rolls into one, and like I was saying earlier, we want to get the boys back now next 3-4 weeks, and I suppose if you get them back earlier, your pre-season isn't hard and the boys aren't doing as much running, you know, without the ball. So
you'll give them Christmas Day off, surely, don't know, will you?
Maybe back in St. Stephen's Day.
Yeah, but, absolutely. Well, I'm lucky I didn't lose a few toes at Clarny Celtic last year. It was so cold. Lads, we're out of time. Thanks very much for popping in, and said congratulations again. Enjoy the couple of days of celebrating, and I'm sure you'll be back next year with plenty more. We're going to boxing after we take this quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry,
brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community and warm hospitality under one roof.
No, you're welcome back to Terrace Talk, out with the soccer gang and in with the tough boys and the boxing. Delighted to be joined by Pat Casey, of course. He's the under 15 European 44kg European champion. His coach is here as well, John Coffey, and younger brother is another up and coming boxer, so we might chat to all three of you. First of all, Pat, look, massive congratulations. You must be delighted with that one. It's a tough one, as I mentioned there off earlier, a long spin out to Montenegro for the championships, and you put all the hard work down on the into the ring and got the victory.
Yeah, to be honest, I couldn't have asked for better. I got boxer of the tournament, a European gold medal. I was the year younger, so everything past the national cadets was all just experience. And then when I got selected to go to Europe, it was great. We said from here on out, it's all experience, because I was the younger boy.
Yeah.
And then when I got over there, I started to see my opponents. I said, I'm after training too hard to slack off here. So I just pushed on, and it meant the world to get the win.
Yeah, as you know, when you're coming in kind of that younger pan, you're looking at fellas who, despite being a year older, I know you're the same way, if you're probably looking at them and saying they're more experienced. You know, this fella's been hit a couple of times. Like, you know, do you look at yourself as a bit of an underdog, or do you kind of say, oh, no, I'm here to win this thing?
No, I'm always kind of, I'm quite confident before I go into a fight, because I know how hard I train, and I know that if he outworks me, then he deserves to win. But I train 2-3 times a day, 6 days a week, so with that level of intensity training, it's hard to be outworked.
Yeah. How many fights did you have to the build up to the final over there?
I had 3 fights before I got to the final.
And all those went to plan, as you say?
Yep.
Happy enough with how you fought and all that? Were you kind of happy going to the final, or do you think you kind of left a few points behind you along the way, or were you happy enough?
No, I was just the environment alone, just even when I was warming up and I could hear all the fighting going on outside and all the crowd cheering and everything, just...
You want you to get out.
Yeah.
And do you, like, you're such a young fella, like, do you get nervous before a fight, or would you be just total confidence, you don't care how many people are there, how many cameras are around the ring or whatever, you're just in there to fight, or do you get a bit nervous?
No, you'll always have a little bit of nerves, but nerves is good because it keeps you sharp, keeps you ready to expect anything, like, but I'm not too bad. When I first started fighting, I was very nervous, but the more fights you get, the more experience you get, the better you get. So you don't get as much nervous.
Confident young fella, John, it must be easy to coach him, is it?
It is very easy to coach him, to be fair. Yeah, look, it's easy work with Pat, because he wants it himself. And look, he gets direction. He gets a lot of direction from his father, James, to be fair, James Casey. And yeah, it's very easy to work with a boxer when they want it themselves, and they're dedicated. And there is no more dedicated than Pat Casey, to be quite honest. As he said there, he does train 2 times a day, 6 days a week. It's an endless effort put in by him, to be fair. His record speaks for itself, 42-0. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, as he said there, like, he puts in the effort, and it does show inside in the ring.
Was that the biggest test now, kind of going out that kind of year younger to a European championship? Is that where you might really test your kind of undefeated record, if you want to call it that? Like, that's the biggest test, isn't it?
Oh, definitely, without fail. Do you know, like, there was 32 countries in it. Like, there was, you're meeting the cream of the crop there, do you know? And look, we'd no doubt in our minds that Pat was well capable of it. And he proved us right, to be fair. He went out and he did it. And to get best boxer just topped it all off. Like there was 350 yeah. boxers out there, you know, all weight categories. And for Pat to get the best boxer just it really topped it off for all of us, you know.
Talk to me about Steve Lukar. I remember you're in, I think it was the last year, the year before. It's going from strength to strength out there at the club, in fairness, and you're bringing on some of the best. You look in the likes of Pa here, and there's been plenty of names coming through the boxing club out there. You must be delighted with your progress.
Yeah, no, look, there's a lot of work that goes in, to be fair, and it is great to be getting the results. Do you know what I mean? Again, this is a first for the club, first for Kerry as well, to be fair, getting that European gold medal. As I say, Pa works a lot with his dad, James Casey. Mm-hmm. James puts an awful lot of work into his three boys, to be fair. He's a top lad and a top coach, to be fair. There's nothing he wouldn't do for his three lads, and it shows. You know, again, his second brother to get a European, there was Jamesy with a European silver medal a couple of years ago.
And Reverend Jamesy in,
Jamesy was in here as well. So it's great to see that tradition carried out throughout the family. And to be fair, the whole family, the whole Casey family work as a unit. James looks after the training and stuff, and Diane, she does again looking after their meals. They have to be right, do you know what I mean?
Incredible, isn't it?
Have the lads to that level. So it's exceptional work put in by everyone, you know, so it's brilliant.
At that age group, like, it is hard. And, like, Pa, you're probably looking at your, you know, lads in school or whatever else, your friends, and you're kind of saying, like, you know, you have to go training two times a day. So, like, talk to us a little bit about, like, what's included in that. If fellas are playing football at your age, you're probably training maybe two nights a week and maybe a match at the weekend. You're training twice a day, 6 days a week. What exactly does your training entail? Are you out running? Are you always boxing? Or does it change up day to day?
So it's kind of a set programme, so on a Monday morning I'll get up before school and I'll go and I'll do sprints, and then after I get back from school I'll get a bit of dinner and I'll let that digest and I'll go on for my second session of the day. On a Tuesday I go down to Bobby Enright in Peak Performance and I do S&C with him, and I do that again on Friday with him. But all the other days it's sprints, jogging, just everything high intensity, hard work. Mm-hmm. We go to Tark Waterfall and we jog up the steps down the Old Kilmare Road, back up the Old Kilmare Road and back down the steps. But it's hard.
It sounds that never mind. The thought of that alone now is after making me tired. And how often are you kind of, you know, maybe sparring or up against a bag or kind of getting that sort of training into your kind of using, let your fist do the talking, if you want to call it that. Like, are you kind of, how often are you hitting the bag then and stuff and everything else?
So we do a boxing session every single night of the week. 5 3-minute rounds in the bag, all high intensity work. Then another night it could be just getting a certain shot right. We could be on the same shot for 5-10 minutes just to try to get that right. Doesn't matter how many times you throw it, just repetition of trying to get it right. Because then when you go into a fight, it just comes so naturally. But then when it comes to sparring, we try to spar 2 to 3 times in a week.
Yeah.
With the best lads in the country and in England as well, we'd fly over once or twice a month to get the best rounds possible.
I feel like I'm already interrupting your training schedule having you in here tonight. And John Ross, you want to get into this as well. Your older brother's had his silver, wasn't it? No, this man has a gold. What are you can't go better than golds. You can only match him, can you?
Yeah, that's all.
And you're training as well all the time with your dad, are you?
Yeah.
And plenty of, are you going to sprints up and down the Kilmare Road and talk? Are you winning those races?
Yeah.
Are you always first, are you?
I don't know about that now,
to be fair,
but
is he always first?
Yeah.
He puts in a serious effort, in fairness to Son. He was, as they say, the best is yet to come, I think.
There we go. So,
yeah, no, he's...
You'd have to find a new mantelpiece or a trophy cabinet or, I don't know, an extra space in the wardrobe for all these medals and cups. An extension's needed. Pa, look, I just finally, before I let you go, I know it's amateur boxing at your age and underage and everything else. We had Kevin Cronin in here a couple of weeks ago, Irish title for him. Are you kind of looking at him and say, I want to go down his path? Are you looking at Katie Taylor, you want to win Olympic medals? Are you looking at Mick Conlon, you know, wanting to do it all? Bernard Dunn, there's just so many names coming to my head with boxing and everything else. What's the end goal for Pa Casey?
The end goal is to be WBC world champion, undisputed. But it's all God's plan, and I'm going to work as hard as possible. I'll stay dedicated. I'll keep on working hard, and hopefully that'll come, but that won't come without a good amateur record. So I just need to keep on building that. If the Olympics is in the right time, then I'll go for that, and that'll be my stepping stone before I turn pro. But if it's not right for me, then I'll go pro, but hopefully it'll be right, because that's the dream.
Absolutely. That's the clip for next week. You can play it to advertise the show, isn't it?
Yeah, lads.
Thanks very much to John, to Pat and John Ross. Keep the training up, lads. I feel like I'm after interrupting you now. You might want to go for a sprint up Rock Street there before heading back to Clarny, lads. Continued success, and to everyone in the boxing club as well.
Thank you.
And Steve Luca, John, a fantastic club there, and helping out a lot of people who mightn't have found another sport in life or whatever else. You know, there's plenty of space there, and I'm sure Steve Luca are open to new members anytime you want.
Anytime.
Everyone's welcome.
Yeah. Always open.
Absolutely. We're going back to Gaelic games. Did you ever play football, Pat?
I played Dr. Crokes about three or four years ago.
And that was Dr. it then. Crokes. Boxing was the number one call.
Yeah, they started coming together, and then I had to pick one, and I just went with boxing.
Boxing. And that's the one. And even a European medal to show for it. Yeah. We'll be chatting to lads from Kearns or Athleys after we go for this quick break on Terrace Talk.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Sponsored by Meadowlands Hotel Tralee.
Oh, it is almost like a sprint finish when we've got four groups of guests in the last hour, but we haven't said, we saved the best to last now because they're all gone home. We're joined by the Kearns or Athleys lads. They're in the middle of writing a book, but we're told by our colleague Deirdre Walsh here, looking for a few extra bits. Pat Flavin and Paul Mullins with us from the Athleys Club. Pat, I might start with you. What exactly are we doing in Kearns or Athleys, and what are you looking for?
What we're doing at the moment, Ivan, is we're putting out an appeal looking for memorabilia, pictures, old photographs, anything at all to do with the club, maybe match programmes, things like that. Not just necessarily to our own supporters, but supporters of other clubs who might have a programme that would be relevant to us.
Yeah.
So over the next 2 weeks, we're going to run what we're calling a Scanathon. So where you can come into the club. Some people are worried that if they part with their possessions, they won't get them back.
Of course,
they won't get them back in the condition that they handed them in. And we're asking people to come to the club Saturday the 8th, Saturday the 15th, between 11 and 1. We'll scan in their items and we'll hand them back to them immediately.
Yeah, and you're looking for, since the very first ball was kicked with Kearns or Athleys to when the last ball was kicked a couple of weeks ago, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And all in between.
It's a wide history. Yeah. Paul, a club with plenty of history, to be fair, and I'd imagine the book will only be getting longer and longer, and there'll be chapters to be added to it in years to come as well, but nice to get everything documented down, isn't it?
I think it's important to get it documented down, and in many ways we're probably a generation or two late in coming to the table and doing this project, because the history of the club goes back so far that there's no living memory of the early stages of the club and the early eras. Mm-hmm. And that's been part, very challenging part of assembling the history of the club, trying to delve back into those earlier years and understand who, what, when, where and how and all those good things in between.
Yeah, it is important for kind of the longevity of these things, isn't it? You know, you're looking now, the GA has gone past its kind of 125, you're kind of heading towards the 150, no one here is getting any younger, so it's kind of it's important now to get stuff written down, isn't it, at this day and age, or onto a laptop or onto an e-book or whatever it needs to be, that, you know, eventually the club wall will get knocked and there'll be a newspaper clipping that'll go with it. It is kind of important for the kind of longevity and to be able to tell future grandkids of what was there with Kearns or Athleys and with every other club as well.
It is, yeah, and it's also important to remember we're standing on the shoulders of giants who have done so much for us to have clubs in existence. And I'm not just talking about Kearns or Athleys in this instance, but there's so many clubs, the length and breadth of the country, that owe so much to people, and it's our duty not to have them forgotten. And as we've delved into this, we have rediscovered, and it isn't discovered, but we've rediscovered stories and memories of people that have done so much for us, and we think it's very important that we continue that story and record it so that people in future generations will know about them.
Yeah, and plenty of success, Pat, as well in the Kearns or Athleys Club. We know how successful a club it is, so there's plenty there with trophies and, as I said, kind of those kind of newspaper articles as well. And it's nice not to miss any of that as well. And I know it can be very difficult to say, oh, they won at Brendan's board in 1942. It is hard, especially when we weren't around that era as well. It's very hard to make sure you kind of have everything. So the more people that can kind of come in with something that might be too relevant, it might be a programme from 2020, but not a lot of people were there because COVID was around or whatever else it might be. There's so much stuff out there that anything could be valuable here.
Yeah, well, I suppose what we're looking at is really we're trying to bring the characters, the games, everything back to life. I mean, like, if you go back through the history of the club and then going back to the likes of Dan O'Keefe and Dan Spring, John Dowling, you know, a lot of people nowadays don't know too much about them. So, of course, we're trying to, I suppose, relive and bring to life what they did for the club, what they did for the county. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really, I suppose, their huge contribution to what we have today in Stranraer.
Yeah, don't want to put the pressure on you, but when roughly might we have a book that we can sit down and flick through? I know it's still in the early stages. I know a lot of it done, but you're kind of making this appeal now. Are we looking at it maybe next year? Would it be the year after?
No, absolutely. We're working with Liam Hayes, the former Meath footballer. He has his own company, herobooks.ie.
He does, yeah.
So we're working with Liam. It's an 18-month project. We probably have 12 months of it done. So we're looking at hopefully having the book ready for about the spring, but definitely Easter would be our kind of in our head, our launch date.
Lovely, and sitting in good reading time. Paul, I'm just conscious of time, the clock is ticking away. You might just remind people what exactly we are kind of looking for in this Scanathon and when people maybe can come up or give Pat a buzz or give yourself a buzz and say, I might have something here in the attic. What's all the details we need to know?
11 o'clock to 1 o'clock next Saturday and the following Saturday. The club rooms in Strand Road. Come along with any memorabilia. We'll scan it. If you have a story, we'll record it. And we'll hopefully include as much of this as we possibly can in the book. The book will be only as good as the contributions we can collect from all these people. We're looking forward to a good response from people. We already have some great material. We have a photograph from 1919, which is a bit of a conundrum for us, because the caption on it clearly states that Cairns O'Reilly's won a hurling championship, a county hurling championship in 1919. But as we know from the record books, the county championship of 1919 was actually won by Tralee Parnell's, not Cairns O'Reilly's. Cairns O'Reilly's or Stranraer at the time. So we'd love to figure out who that team actually was. And there's some great names on it, including Jack McCarthy, who was a very early stalwart of the club and went on to train Kerry to their first four in a row. Now, if there was TV cameras in his time, there'd be documentaries like there is of good old Mick O'Dwyer. But Jack lived in a different era and is probably forgotten by most people. So we want to bring Jack's story back to life along with so many other people.
Absolutely. Lads, we're completely out of time. Thanks very much for popping in, and we'll definitely get you back in the summer to look at the book and review it and everything else. But thanks very much for popping in this evening. Thanks to everyone who came on the show tonight. Thanks to Niamh, who produced, and to Rob on the phones as well this evening. Mary Comrie's up next, and we'll be back next Monday evening.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry.
Brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel, Kerry's first B Corp hotel. Sustainability, community, and warm hospitality under one roof.